Welcome to today's quarterly All Employment Network call. My name is Derek Shields, and I will serve as the moderator for today's call. Before we begin with the agenda and our presentations, I would like to review a few logistics and housekeeping items. First, this meeting is being recorded, and a transcription is also being captured. Now to the next slide for the logistics. So importantly, please remain muted at all times during the call unless called upon by myself or one of our production team members. Please feel free to also ask a question in the Teams chat section. If you wish to ask your question aloud, raise your hand and your mic will be unmuted. If joining via phone and you wish to ask a question, please raise your hand using star 5 and you will be unmuted. Then press star 6 to speak. This is a two-step process. If joining via MS Teams and you wish to ask a question aloud, please use the raise your hand feature. Please limit questions to one per participant. Additional comments or questions can be sent to us at enoperations@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. This email inbox has also been posted in chat. Those questions not answered during the live event will be forwarded to the appropriate panelists for responses. Closed caption is available, has been tested, and is working today for participants who join using the MS Teams application or by using the separate closed captions link provided in MS Teams. Go to the three ellipses at the top of the MS Teams More menu and click on More Actions if you prefer to use Turn on Live Captions. Our team will be posting the closed captions link for you a couple times today to help you access that as well. When using the link option, paste the link in the browser and it will open up a separate window where you can view the closed captions. Again, two options, the separate link or use the More feature to access the MS Teams automated translations. Now, thank you in advance for your participation today. We have a lot of presenters available and we look forward to the exchange. It's now time to review our agenda. We'll start out today with Dr. Kara Kaplan with a Social Security welcome, followed by payments reminders update, EN updates and reminders, training curriculum, learner pathways, and a communications and outreach update. All of this in just over an hour, followed by a 30-minute question and answer exchange. It's now my pleasure to introduce Dr. Kara Kaplan, Branch Chief for the Office of Employment Support and Social Security's Office of Research, Demonstration, and Employment Support. Kara will provide our opening remarks. Kara?
Thank you, Derek. I'd like to welcome everybody to the quarterly All-EN call. As Derek said, we have a very packed agenda. I would also like to welcome five new ENs. One is Venture Links. They are located in Ohio. Mariella Communications out of California. Workforce Escarosa in Florida. Deaf Employment and Advocacy Firm in Texas. And Ticket to Success LLC in Ohio. So welcome. Whatever you need to be successful, we are here to help you. And I will now turn it back to you, Derek.
Thanks so much, Karen. Welcome to the new ENs. Great to have us with you. And on the screen, if we go back one, Rose, just to ensure that we have those welcomes for Ohio, California, Florida, Texas, and a second one from Ohio, as Kara said. Thank you so much. And with that, if we can now proceed to our next presenter. We are pleased to welcome Katie Streibinger, Vocational Rehabilitation Branch Chief in the Office of Employment Support. Katie is going to provide us with a few key payments reminders. Katie, welcome.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Sorry, I was having technical difficulties earlier.
We hear you clearly. Sound great. Go ahead.
All right, we'll consider this my sound check and my presentation at the same time. Good afternoon, everyone. I just wanted to spend a few minutes on EN payment reminders. We don't normally give EN payment updates during this call because we have a quarterly all EN payments call at the same time. Our next call is coming up on Tuesday, April 25th. If you did not receive a reminder for that meeting, please reach out to the EN help desk, the EN payments help desk specifically, and we will make sure that you are included in our messages. The EN payments call is a really helpful call. We go over EN payment, anything from EN payment basics to just reminders and best practices. On each of our quarterly calls, we give EN's guidance concerning our upcoming e-pay process. Typically, our quarterly call is held the week before we start issuing our quarterly e-pay payments. If you are unfamiliar with e-pay, it's a process where eligible ENs are paid automatically by SSA for any payments starting with Phase 1 Milestone 4, all Phase 2 milestones, any outcome payments, and any MAB due for any currently assigned ticket holders. So these are automatic payments that are made by SSA without the EN having to take any action. The way it is done is our team works from a list of SSNs in order to make the payments. For this reason, we ask ENs to hold off requesting payments that rely on the earnings already proven message in the portal for earnings evidence, specifically for these payment types, Phase 1 Milestone 4, all Phase 2 milestones, and all outcomes. ENs that request payments for the SSNs that are already in our ePay file cause a duplication of effort, and they end up slowing down payments. During our last quarterly call, we received 1,000 payment requests for a week straight, and we ended up having to halt our ePay file, which slowed down payments for everyone. I wanted to come on and give you a reminder about this guidance about ePay payments, because it is really important to us and to everyone here on this call that everyone is paid timely and that we all work together to make sure that our staff can process things efficiently and accurately. We are going to start sending a reminder, the last message to everyone when we start the ePay file, so that you're aware that we have started. And in that message will be included guidance, like I just spoke about not requesting payments via the portal. Now, if you're requesting Phase 1 Milestone 1, Phase 1 Milestone 2, or Phase 1 Milestone 3, please go ahead and request those payments. We are not asking you to slow down requesting those payments. In addition, if the earnings you're using to for the payment you are requesting for those specific payment types I just mentioned, Phase 1 Milestone 4, Phase 2 Milestones and Outcomes, if you're including earnings evidence, right, you're not relying on ePay to get paid, you can submit those payments through the portal during the ePay process. We are just trying to not to duplicate the process where there are already earnings in our system and ENs are relying on those earnings for payment at the same exact time that we're processing the ePay file. So I encourage you, one, to reach out if you did not receive the message about the all EN payments call that's coming up on April 25th, to reach out so that we can get you onto that call. And second, you know, to read the message that we send out. We all want to work together to make sure we all get paid. Thank you, Derek.
Katie, quick question for you through chat. It just says, how do we reach out to get on the all EN payments call to make sure that they can attend next week?
We will put the email address in the chat window. Reach into the help desk, and they can make sure you're added to our list.
Super. Brittany just added it. EN payments help desk at yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. Super. Thank you so much, Katie, for coming on today and sharing those updates with us. We appreciate your time. Okay, so next we're going to move forward to our next presenter, and we're going to bring back Dr. Kara Kaplan, Branch Chief of the Office of Employment Support. Kara has quite a few EN updates and reminders for us. Kara, to you, please.
Thanks, Derek. As Derek said, there are quite a few things. First, I want to talk about approved cloud storage and the process for the approval. So any cloud storage service utilized by an EN must be FedRAMP approved. We're sharing the link in the chat for the list of FedRAMP services. ENs must send verification of the service they have and intend to use for SSA approval. This can be a screenshot, but it must include the subscribe licenses and the cloud configuration settings. And should not store anything in the cloud until and unless they receive approval from SSA in writing. and will need to submit cloud storage service verification annually as part of your service and supports review. I'm going to go on to the annual security awareness certification or the 222 and also the APOR update. So the last day to submit for both was February 27th. We had many ENs who did not comply timely. We sent them reminders, we sent cure notices, and as a result, we did terminate 14 ENs for noncompliance. It is a violation of your TPA. There are several different projects that were collected through APOR for only this year. For the work from home request process, that is currently in progress. So we receive many of them and staff are working through those as quickly as possible. The Partnership Plus agreement process is completed. The badges are added to the website. The ENs have been notified of approval or denial. The proof of workforce entity, the same thing, that is processed and completed, and the badges are on the website and you were notified of approval or denial. And the same for the benefits counseling certification. And ENs were again notified. These four items are not going to be collected through APOR anymore. It was a one-time thing to make sure we were up to date with everything. They will be collected through your annual service and supports review. So for this year, you will have to submit them twice. You submitted it with your APOR, but you should have everything available to submit it when the analyst asks for the information with your service and supports. And if it doesn't apply to you, you just don't send it. As for your annual service and supports reviews, we want to make sure that ticket holders are receiving the services and supports necessary to be successful and that all TPA requirements are being met. So SSA directed TPM to provide a more robust annual service and supports review. Some of the examples of what TPM is including in the review is we are confirming that ticket assignments and payment requirements are being met. Ensuring suitability of staff working with ticket holders and comparing previous and current review results for improvement or identifying continuing patterns of noncompliance. We want to make sure all the IWPs are completely individualized and specific to that particular ticket holder. Based on EN compliance of the requirements, as outlined in the TPA Part 3, Section 4, the EN receives an overall rating of either compliant, needs improvement, or non-compliant. If you are compliant, that indicates that the EN satisfactorily met all the requirements with no or minimal issues. If it needs improvement, that indicated that you did not consistently apply the requirements. And if it's non-compliant, that indicates that the EN did not meet the requirements. If it was non-compliant, following that review, Program Integrity will schedule a technical assistance session with the EN to discuss the areas needing improvement and the required next steps. All main key contacts listed on the TPA, as well as all suitable staff creating IWPs, are expected to attend the TAS session. Program Integrity will then re-review your EN in 6 months. SSA will place the EN on an e-pay suspension until, at a minimum, the 6-month service and supports review are finalized and the EN passes that. I'm going to move on to personally identified information, PII. So if you do have a PII violation, you are for the first violation and you receive these gov deliveries quarterly. So there's a first violation, a second violation, a third violation. So you are, for a first violation, I'll just go through that, you are required to attend mandatory training. And that is all the main points of contact and the violator are required to attend this training. We would encourage everybody from your EN to attend, because person A may make a PII violation the first time, and person B may make it the second time, and that would still count as a second violation against your EN. And the third violation may result in termination. So we take this very seriously. The training will be offered twice a month via MS Teams. TPM will post the calendar in advance and invite you to a specific session. You'll need to attend the training as a team on the assigned date. If a main point of contact fails to attend, all members of the EN may be invited to attend a new session. Ticket portal, we recently sent out a blast about that. Again, this is a security measure. The blast was sent on the 21st of March to all ENs addressing the changes. So we indicated that portal access is limited to individuals who have a business need and plan to access the portal regularly for each EN. SSA makes protecting its information top priority. The ticket portal uses the highest level of security available to the agency and allows service providers to safely and securely do business with SSA. We learned that, unfortunately, service provider foundation training was erroneously modified to include all EN employees. That was a mistake. So as a result, there are portal users who have no business need to access the ticket portal. To correct this, SSA will begin reducing the number of staff authorized to access the portal to activate users, to active users rather, who have a business need. As of April 1st, SSA removed portal users for individuals who have not accessed the portal in the last 180 days. We're currently in the process of removing over 250 users. So as a reminder, ticket portal users must access the portal at least once every 90 days or your account will become inactive. After 90 additional days of inactivity for a total of 180 days, SSA will remove the user from the portal without notifying the EN. If you are removed, you will have to go back through training before you're allowed to be reinstated into the portal. It is critical that each EN verifies the portal users for their organizations instead of continuing business as usual. The Gov delivery explains how to do that in the portal. Social Security also indicated that mandatory service provider foundation training for main points of contact through the Learning Management System Bridge will continue. All other EN staff may access training through the Your Ticket to Work website, and we will provide the link in the chat. SSA and TPM will do a mandatory triannual employment verification. So EN Service will reach out to each EN three times a year. One time will be with the 222. So two additional times you will be reached out to verify all your employees. At the end of March, we updated the TPA change form to capture important changes to optimize SSA database and to capture necessary information such as corporate status categories, underserved populations, type of organization, and so on. We also added to capture ticket portal users, and we're going to also change it one more time, probably within the next week, so it captures all EN employees. You must send in an EN change form for any changes within your organization, any employee changes, status changes, you want to add somebody to the portal, all of that must be done through an EN change form. We cannot accept it in the body of an email. Your TPA also requires you, within one business day of an employee joining or leaving or a main point of contact, within three business days, that you must inform SSA. Many ENs are not abiding by this, and as a reminder, it is a violation of your TPA, and an EN can be terminated for that. When sending any email, please make sure to state the acronym PID and your 9-digit PID number. So you should put For example, PID 12345678 with no spaces. And please make sure you don't write out just the 9-digit number with the dashes as if it's an SSN. We do receive some of those, and those get flagged as PII violations, even though it's not an SSN. To the agency, it appears like an SSN. So please make sure you do it PID 9 digits. In the subject line, include the EN name and the state. And that will make the process go a lot quicker. When you don't include those things in the subject line, it slows down the process. So recently, we have sent out, as I've mentioned, a lot of gov delivery messages. These are all reflected in your TPA, which can be found on the SSA website. So as we make major clarifications or some changes, we do update the RFA, and it is your responsibility to constantly go back and look for any changes in the RFA. When you're corresponding with EN Service or SSA, you do not need to CC, I'm on my whip aside, the training and activation analysts, formerly known as the account managers. A lot of people are doing that, and it's causing a lot of confusion, miscommunication, and sometimes an EN getting wrong information. So please make sure you are contacting the right place with your questions. Most general questions should go to enservice@ssa.gov. Your payments question should go to the payments help desk. And so just make sure you're sending it to the right person. Training questions are what goes to the training and activation analysts. And I will hand it back to you, Derek.
Thank you very much, Kara, for the EN updates and reminders. We'll have you back in a little bit for our Q&A session. Now it's my pleasure to turn to our training curriculum learner pathway updates, which will be provided by Anna Morales, the EN Development and Training Manager for the Ticket Program Manager. Anna, over to you, please.
Thank you, Derek. And can we go to the next slide, please? So I'm going to cover the training curriculum learner pathways, and this is based on the changes that Kara talked about, the ticket portal and the training curriculum. So as of April 1st, we implemented all these changes, mainly in the learning management system bridge. One important information is that all this information was implemented for all the learner pathways for the users that we have under training, but little by little we are like starting to implement it for the new users that we are also adding to the training curriculum. So number one is that we are going to initiate all the training sessions for the main point of contacts. We are going to do that by the new TPA change form that also Kara alluded during her presentation. All the main point of contacts that we receive via EN Service. As we receive them, we are going to start that training. One important information is that if a signatory authority for an employment network is involved in the day-to-day operations of the EN, they will have to complete the curriculum or the learner pathway for the program and ticket holder learner pathway. All the ticket portal users, they will have to be designated by the signatory authority or the program contact via the TPA change form. They have to be as a business need, so they have to be enrolled in training. Something that we need to make sure that everybody is on the same understanding is that it is a business need. So they have to look at what the EN has already, and this is per the gov delivery message that was sent on March 21st. They have to look at the business need of the EN. Look at how many ticket portal users they need, and by that send one TPA change form per user. And that is specifically section 4 of the TPA change form, which is page 8. It has to be very particular because that is the information that EN service team needs to complete and enter in the system. And that is what the training team also needs to initiate the training. We are going to update all this information in the website and also in the training resources, because if you have not noticed, all that information was taken down in the website, but we will update all this information. And with that being said, please let's go to the next slide. And the next slide is a visual of the learner pathway. There you go. So this is a new visual of the learner pathway to help you put in perspective the whole curriculum and the different phases of the program. So the training starts with the EN orientation, which is a live session with the training and activation analyst. All the main point of contacts are invited to attend that session along with the ticket portal user. Phase one includes 2 modules and also has 1 learning check and 2 checkpoints. Those 2 checkpoints are the EQIP submission and the MySSA account with extra security. I also want to make sure that you know that I am talking specifically about the ticket portal user. And this is the only user that has access to the portal, obviously, and the one that has the most modules in the system. The reason is because since any program contact within the EN needs to be designated as a business need, they need to go through all the different areas of the program. So they need to be well prepared to have access and be able to operate any area of the program within the EN. So after they complete the phase one, they move to the phase two. And the phase two has 3 modules and they have 1 learning check. Once they cover that, they move to phase three. And phase three has 9 modules and 5 learning checks. One thing that is different is that we move the checkpoints of suitability and ticket portal access towards the end of the pathway. And now the suitability and the portal is going to be towards the end. So at the end of the learning check number 6, the learners are going to have like a stop after that learning check. They are going to have a checkpoint for suitability. So everybody is expected to be suitable and then have access to the ticket portal. They are going to request their ticket portal access to EN service. And after they have access to the ticket portal, they are going to have the last module, which is the ticket portal for ENs. And after that, they're going to have 1 last learning check. And then they have the graduation and be able to have the training completion and be able to start operations within the EN. And after they are done completely, they're going to be able to have their certificate of graduation and be able to start operations within the EN. So we are going to update all the learner pathways for all the different main point of contacts per the EN. That means the program contact, the ticket holder, the suitability, and the payments point of contact. And we are going to update all this information in the website and all the training resources. So let's move to the next slide. So you may think, what about all my other staff that needs training? So we have additional resources, and we have mentioned this several times. So they have to do what Ben is doing in the picture. They have to go to the website and they have to review all the modules that are posted. They have to go to the website and review all the information that is available. And if they have any questions and need additional information, they can reach out to the EN Operations inbox and we will be happy to answer any questions for them. Something new that we want to announce is that we will have supplemental training available. We will start offering group training sessions on a variety of topics. So stay tuned for more information, and that will be coming soon. And with that, I am going to turn it back to Mr. Shields.
Thank you very much, Anna, for going through the updated learner pathways. I know that we've had some questions in chat. Natalie and others are busy trying to respond, and we will have an open Q&A, and Anna will be back with us for those questions shortly. In the meantime, I'd like to provide an outreach update on behalf of the communications and outreach team doing our work. The ticket outreach team promotes Ticket to Work, and most of you are probably familiar with this, to ensure that the content is getting out to folks through a variety of channels and in ways that you as ENs hopefully have an opportunity to use and repurpose. And I'm going to share a couple updates on those with you today. Next slide, please. So first off, our WISE webinars, the Work Incentive Seminars, are online events designed to explain the ticket program and work incentives through accessible learning opportunities. As is custom, they're held on the fourth Wednesday of each month, and we have an average range of attendees from 400 to 600, depending on the topic, and last month we went over that. Next WISE topic is actually next week on April 26, and registration is now open. Brittany kindly posted a link in chat, and we encourage you to share that so we can have more folks registered to learn how will work affect my Medicaid or Medicare benefits. Again, that's April 26th. That's Wednesday from 3 to 4:30 p.m. Eastern time. And TPM does send sample social media posts for ENs to share every month through Gov delivery, and we encourage you to repurpose those at your convenience. Looking ahead for WISE webinars on the next slide, we give a rundown of May, June, and July. In May, we're pleased to bring in a guest to present on Ticket to Work for America's Veterans. This webinar will discuss pathways to employment for people who receive both Social Security disability and veterans disability benefits. That will be in May. Following in June, on June 28th, the WISE will focus on Ticket to Work for people with mental illness. This webinar is going to be a general overview of the ticket program and content specific to people who have and live with mental illness. This is clearly one of our largest groups to receive disability benefits. And last, on July 26th, the anniversary of the ADA, we will be focused on reasonable accommodations in the path to employment. We'll also have a guest presenter in what's one of the more popular WISE in providing information on how to succeed in the workplace with reasonable accommodations. And it is a popular webinar, and it'll be on the anniversary of the ADA, and we encourage you all to start using May, June, and July in your outreach efforts as well. So now that we've covered WISE, let's move forward to the next slide, please. As you know, Choose Work social media is on a variety of platforms, and we schedule daily social media posts through Facebook and Twitter. And these are posts that highlight other content, including the prolific blog posts that come out, sometimes about four per month, the ticket program resources and fact sheets that are available, along with our monthly WISE webinars. Importantly, the success stories are also available, both success stories and stepping stone stories through the social media posts, looking at how ticket holders are making improvements through Ticket to Work and work incentives. We also share important Social Security updates through those social media posts, along with relevant information from our federal partners at other key agencies looking at disability employment. For fact sheets, we have the Ticket to Work fact sheets, and this month we'd like to call out again, what is Social Security's Ticket to Work program? And we share a link on the slide here and also in chat. Encourage you to share this with ticket holders to help learn more about Ticket to Work as their point of entry and learning about what's possible. In the next slide, please. Now, please, to again emphasize success stories. These feature individuals who have achieved financial independence with the help of the ticket program. I also mentioned before the stepping stone stories. These are stories that feature individuals who have made a major step on the path to financial independence, but have not yet eliminated their reliance on the benefits. Our program recognizes that both are important, and we encourage you to share these stepping stone and success stories in a repurposeful way in your networks. On the next slide, we have our latest success stories. And as my colleague Ray would say, this is a great one. So Jessica's story is available on the Choose Work homepage and also on the Success Stories navigational tab. Jessica was born with cerebral palsy and felt stigmatized in her whole life. And the success story walks through some of her feelings during early education and how people painted her into a corner of what couldn't happen in her life. Well, instead, obviously, the story went in a different direction. And after getting her master's degree, she didn't want to sit on that degree. She wanted to enter the workforce. So she contacted the Choice Group, a Virginia-based EN, that would help her plan her career. First off, creating that individualized work plan that tagged the things that she would need in planning, like benefits counseling. And, you know, she learned about the impact of earnings from work on her disability benefits and navigated her job hunt once she determined what she wanted to do. And in the end, Jessica landed a position at Virginia Counseling Associates, and she works with clients of all ages addressing the symptoms of mental illness. And I have a quote here from Jessica that wraps up the success story. It's, Ticket to Work has made it possible for me to see a future with support and less debt. I have options that were out of reach, and now it is liberating. So we encourage you to share Jessica's story in your network and thank the Choice Group and other ENs that are doing great work around the country. Ways to share it, promote on your social media, become familiar with the stories, and use them with ticket holders with similar backgrounds. Brittany's posted a link to the success stories page in chat. You can explore those and determine how to share these to impact the mindset of the ticket holder. You could also use sample social media posts and contact us at socialmedia@choosework.ssa.gov and to submit success story candidates. We would love to find the next Jessica. If you're out there and you think you have a success story candidate, please send us an email. We are at successstories@choosework.ssa.gov. And if we could help promote stories like Jessica, we can reach more individuals across the country to help them find financial independence as well. Lots of ways to stay in touch. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. Check us out on YouTube with our recordings, especially the Wise On Demand series. And we encourage you to subscribe to Gov Delivery updates if you're not getting those. As one of our presenters said earlier, there's a lot of email coming through there. And subscribe to the Choose Work blog for those four or so monthly updates. And last, email at socialmedia@choosework.ssa.gov. This was a lot of information. Brittany has it in chat. The content will also be available in the recap from today's All EN call. And with that, I'm pleased to now move beyond the presentation portion of today and open up our session to questions with a moderated exchange with our panel. Just as a reminder, if you're connected in through telephone today, we ask you to have a two-step process. Raise your hand by dialing *5 and you'll be unmuted. Then press *6 for your second step to unmute yourself. If you're using Teams, of course, you can enter a question in the chat as you have been doing, or you can raise your hand and your mic will be unmuted by our production team. And with that, just a reminder to please state your name, your EN's name, and then ask your question. We do ask you to keep your question to be a little bit more generic. Final, hold your payments questions to those environments as well. Today, we won't focus on the payments content. And with that, now I'd like to return to Nicole and see if we have a raised hand and have our first question.
Thank you, Derek. We have a question from Lauren Womack. Lauren, please make sure that you are unmuted and ask your question. Lauren, you can press *6 to unmute yourself. You can press the unmute button to ask your question.
Looks like Lauren just disconnected from the lineup. You want to move to the next question, Nicole?
Yes, we have a question from Diane Winarski. Diane, go ahead and unmute your mic and ask your question.
Hey, thanks, Nicole. Thank you so much. Hey, Derek, I actually have two questions. I'm going to start with the one that you just talked about, these success stories. We have been submitting success stories through the links that you shared on the screen. Unfortunately, we haven't received any response, and our stories have been submitted since January 9th. Is there anyone else we should be following up with? We're using the links that you provided, success stories at choosework.ssa.gov. Just wondering if there's anyone else we should be following up with.
I don't believe so, Diane. This is Derek speaking. My guess is I know you didn't identify your EN, but I have a feeling I know which EN you're with. And I do believe that they're in our success stories pipeline.
Fantastic. And I apologize. It's all SIP Employment Services. So thank you
I didn't want to guess, but yes, we do have your submissions there in our pipeline. We produced and published Jessica in March, and now we're moving into the next submitted potential candidates for success stories. So we'll be in touch soon.
Thank you so much, because we want to give you the next Jessica. So my second question is, we have been sending field office concerns regarding the 8821s. We're getting feedback that the DO offices are asking for the full SSN. And I think we're all aware we only have to provide the last six digits. So we do submit our concerns to enservices.ssa.gov. And I have to tell you, Tamika is wonderful at responding. But we're just following up. Is there any resolution? Because we're kind of seeing the same issues with similar field offices.
Thanks for the question, Diane. Kara is now on screen. Kara, go ahead, please.
Yeah, and we hear many BPQI issues. It's not novel, unfortunately. And we are trying to work with our sister component in operations. But again, our office has no control over the field offices. I mean, we've sent them messages. And as you know, I did those letters for you guys not that long ago to help with it. All we can do is, if a specific field office is giving you a problem, is to send that into EN Service. But we need to know specifics. We can't know the field offices in Florida are bad. Like, we need to know exactly what field office you're dealing with that's giving you an issue. I mean, even down to the person, if you know that. And then we send that over to the operations component in headquarters, and it routes through the system to hopefully help you.
No, thank you, Kara. That is perfect. And we do provide that. We provide the DO code, the field office, the address. If we have the representative, we provide the representative's first, and if we have last name. We're just wondering, if there's any resolution that comes out. Because typically I'll get a response. Thank you, Diane. We're forwarding this off to management.
Right, and it's they do. Somebody on our staff then works with the person in operations, but headquarters, who then has to go through. It's a whole red tape process. They have to go through the regional down to the field office, to work with them. So, I mean, a lot of times there is resolution, because people mostly complain about not getting the BPQIs and then they get it. So we know that there is resolution a lot of the time. But like I said, and it sounds like you're doing it, the more specific somebody can be, the better we can help. And some field offices are just better than others. I hate to say it, but it just is what it is, type of thing.
Thank you, Kara.
Thank you, Diane, for the question, and Kara for your response. Nicole, it looks like we have another hand raise.
Yes, we have a question from Jan. You can unmute your mic and ask your question, please.
Yeah, I was wondering, what is the subscribed licenses and configuration setting? No one in our agency knows what that is, and that includes our IT department.
I'm not sure what you're asking, to be honest with you.
Kara, this is Natalie. If they could email enservice@ssa.gov, and then the email could be forwarded to the staff person that oversees the cloud configurations, and she can assist you with exactly what is required of the EN. She can walk you through that and tell you exactly what you need.
So, Jan, thank you for the question. Again, the guidance is to email EN service. A specific staff person is going to be able to follow up with some cloud storage guidance. That comment was also in chat a couple times, so I think folks were wondering what it was. Thank you, Natalie. Nicole, next question, please.
Thank you, Derek. We have a question from Kim Gonzalez. Kim, please activate your microphone and ask your question.
Hi there, thank you. My question is, do the field agents receive any training about ticket to work?
I think they receive training about work incentives. So ticket to work is mentioned with the work incentives, but specifically on ticket, probably not.
And just a suggestion, and this may happen already, and I just don't know it, but it would be wonderful to have like a ticket to work field officer or agent from Social Security be part of calls that are made, like whenever I have to call in or call in on behalf of a client, if they have questions or discrepancies, just so that, you know, that there's a representation of ticket to work, because I get field officers saying different things. It's contrary to what the ticket to work program is about. It's kind of tricky.
So you're saying every time you call the field office, you want somebody from our office on the phone with you?
If there's issues, yes, especially when there's allegations of not reporting wages and overpayments. And, you know, I had an agent say, oh, yeah, you're going to have to do a medical review. And I was like, well, wait a second. There's just be exempt from the medical review. And she's like, well, they'll have to do it anyway. So, I mean, having like somebody knowledgeable about ticket to work be part of the cause would be very helpful, and you can get on the same page and kind of get rid of that fear.
I get what you're asking, which would be amazing if I had a staff of like 50 people. We don't. Most of the staff that actually help us are Cognosante contractors. Our staff is 2 people. So it's that would be a very difficult thing. That sounds like something that would be a daily thing, but if there's a huge major issue, we could certainly look into helping with that and maybe contact our operations people with suggestions for that. Like, we're willing to have like a call with operations, you know. Mm-hmm. For that. And recently we did have a NINA call, and she was on the call. So persons from the NINA board did mm-hmm. have an opportunity to talk to our liaison in operations.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's good. Or at least one call a month or something like that, just so that it can be trickled down to the people that are answering the phones, you know. Thank you.
Thank you for your question. Nicole, next question, please.
We have Kathy DeRusso with a question. Kathy, please activate your microphone and ask your question.
This question is for Kara. Specifically, you had mentioned something about the services and supports review. A is going to now require us to, you know, tell you what our cloud-based system is and that it's FedRAMP approved. Mm-hmm. And then did you also say that the work from homes are also going to have to be submitted during service and supports as well?
Yeah, the work from home, it's a once a year thing. The work from home requests the cloud base, the partnership plus, and the if you happen to be a workforce agency.
So all those work from home requests, because again, for us, Best Buddies, you know, we've got many. You know, that took us a while to get that process all up and ready and going when we did it for the APOR. So we're going to have to do that same thing each.
Well, I would say if something hasn't changed, like if your specific work from home form hasn't changed, you can resend the same form in. Okay. I don't have a problem with that. We just, you know, need to, it's another way of us checking who personnel are and to know who's working from home, who's, I'm assuming after COVID, a lot of people are working from home,
right.
But who's working from home, who's working from the office, you know, we don't know what site visits might start back up again, and we need to know where staff is.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I mean, we had, you know, I have worked from home always, but when we came back after the, after the pandemic, everyone got changed to a hybrid. They could work, you know, Monday and Friday from home and 3 days in the office. And then one last thing, if I may, the three responses on the outcome summary are now just three versus they were five before. So we won't get something that says incomplete paperwork or a need for a technical services call. It'll just be compliant, non-compliant, or incomplete.
And it'll say if you need to do what anything those are. On
okay.
that.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
We're trying to make it a little more simple for people.
Sure. Agreed. That's a good thing. Thank you, Kara.
Oh, my pleasure.
I'm going to pause from the questions coming in over voice to ask Natalie. Natalie, you've been watching chat. I know we've had a lot of questions and engagement going on. Any comments or responses that you would like to make to any of the chat questions, Natalie?
Just to reiterate what Kara said, if there are issues with field office staff giving wrong advice to beneficiaries, I know beneficiaries will listen to SSA staff or the field office staff over what employment networks are saying, unfortunately. But if you can send EN service a specific employee names that are doing this or field offices, we will definitely escalate that issue to the office that oversees all the field offices. It would be really helpful.
Thank you, Natalie. Appreciate that.
And just let me just say one thing, too. There, I mean, you do have medical protection when using your ticket. However, when we were and will be doing timely progress again, there were many beneficiaries who lost their medical CDR protection due to timely progress. So those beneficiaries or ticket holders may be subject to a medical CDR review, even though they can still have their ticket in use.
Thanks, Kara. Before we go to the next question coming in from Kim, here's a question that was submitted. I may have missed it if it was already shared. If we submitted work from home forms during the APOR, will we receive a response regarding whether the work from home requests were approved? Kara?
I believe we already, work from home, they're still working on, but yes, you will receive it through email, whether they're approved or not. They're just working through them. You have to remember there's over 450 ENs with some have a lot of employees. So they're still working through those forms.
Thank you, Kara. So to that question, if you haven't received a response, the process is still in place. There will be a response coming once the work is completed. So let's go to Nicole for the next question, please.
We have a question from Kim Gonzalez. Kim, go ahead and enable your microphone and ask your question.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Kara. You triggered something when you mentioned the timely progress reviews were coming up. I've heard two different things, and I'm hoping that you can clear this up. I've heard that the timely reviews are based solely on earnings, but then I've also heard it said that it's based on earnings and their progress with their individual work plan. Can you tell us a little bit more about what is involved in a timely review?
Well, we're not doing them right now. So let me just say that. But there were persons who failed it several years ago, and they still have a failed timely progress flag on their record. So therefore, those persons are subject to medical CDR review. Although if they are making timely progress, you know, they can then have it switched back, you know, and they just give the information. However, it is based on income. I mean, it's in the regulations. It's pretty convoluted, actually. And there's, you know, there's the first level, second level. So there, I forget the exact amount. There might be 8 levels, but it is based on income and or education. So, for example, if you happen to be in school, like in college, and you're taking 3 classes, let's say, mm-hmm. you know, but after a certain amount of time, you have to take more classes or you have to be graduated, that type of thing. But it's not based on the IWP at all. It's based on making the progress in employment or education.
And so when I've seen that come up on the on my reports, it'll say like TPR, if it was failed or whatever. Mm-hmm. Is there something that we should be telling our clients to do if they are actively participating with us?
Katie, she's a lot more familiar with this than I am. I don't know if she, Katie, are you still on?
Yeah, I'm still here. So if you, the best place to go would be in a ticket portal that will tell you their TPR status and that will tell you why they failed. If they failed and what is required. If a person is earning what they should, you need to re-enter.
Re-enter.
I'm sorry, I have some background noise, but I would encourage you to go look up your ticket holders in the ticket portal.
Yes, I've seen them. I've seen that, what you're talking about. I just didn't know what I should be telling the client to do, like to talk to somebody about it to see if they could get it changed, you know, if they are actually not working and participating.
So participating is not the same thing. You if you failed, you have to meet the criteria, different criteria to re-enter. So it's not that participating means like you're actually working with someone. You actually have to be meeting the goals of timely progress that you're at. So I would recommend, I believe the box is, and someone in the chat, please correct me. I believe the box is EN Operations. If you contact that mailbox, they will help you and assist you and, you know, move you on the next step from there if you need to try to help that person re-enter. But it is all the ticket holder's responsibility. So, and if they did fail, they should have received a letter in the mail from Social Security letting them know that they did fail. But the ticket portal does have the latest information for a ticket holder on their TPR information.
And a lot of people try to re-enter after a medical CDR has been initiated. And once it's initiated, that's it. It has to go through. So my advice is if they're basically to reiterate what Katie's saying, if they are making timely progress, you want them to try to re-enter immediately before a CDR is pulled. Because once it's pulled, that's it. It doesn't stop.
Yes, we can only re-enter you effective the day that we approve your request for re-entry. We cannot re-enter someone in the past. So if you were to send us some proof today, we could re-enter you, excuse me, the ticket holder, but that ticket holder's re-entry would not be dated until today's date. So we cannot re-enter anyone in the past. So, right, if you look on that list and you see that there are failures and you know that they're working, you know, I would encourage you to help them by encouraging them to re-enter.
Okay. And on the BPQI, where it'll say like the next medical review is scheduled, for example, 4/2023, how will they know like what the date is?
We cannot help you with the medical CDR review date okay. on this call.
That just means when it's scheduled, but the beneficiary would receive a letter if they are getting a medical CDR review. That's when we receive a lot of re-entries. People get scared. I got this letter. They're doing a review, but I'm working. And the problem is it's too late. Like, that's why Katie's saying we encourage you to go through your list. And if people are working and making timely progress, you want to you want to proactively help them re-enter versus waiting until after the field office has started a review.
And by saying re-enter, does that mean, what does that mean? Like doing a new work plan?
No. That means that you send in proof that they're making timely progress, meaning they're working at a certain level, let's say, and then we can fix it where they don't have a failed timely progress anymore, and they're fine, and they will not get pulled for a medical CDR.
I was going to jump on, you know, maybe it would be to our benefit to, like Harris said, we are not restarting timely progress reviews, but maybe it would be helpful if we send something out to ENs with like a FAQ or just a FYI, so ENs have some information about reentry. I think that's something we could take back, so everyone is on the same page and ENs understand that concept, because that is something that ENs can do right now, even though we're not performing timely progress reviews.
Thank you, Katie. Thank you, Kara. Good question and exchange there. With that, we'll go to Nicole one last time, make sure we're covering any hand raise. Any other questions, Nicole?
Derek, there are no additional questions to be asked at this time.
Thank you. And it looks like we have a question in chat. What if the beneficiary has reported wages, et cetera, to SSA? Wouldn't they see that as they are preparing to begin CDR? That be part of the follow-up guidance that you, Kara, and Katie were speaking of? Try to put a little...
No, reporting it to the field office is not reporting it to us for timely progress. They're two different things.
Yeah, I was going to hop on. We're talking about two different CDRs. There's a medical CDR and there's a work CDR. Those are two different CDRs. The question in the chat, it's not really clear which one they're trying to talk about.
Thank you. With 2 minutes to go, we'll see if we get clarification there. Otherwise, Kara, any final comments based on the exchange that you'd like to share as we wrap up?
No, but somebody is saying, aren't we doing that every month when we submit pay stubs? No, it has to be a person has failed their timely progress review and they are asking to be reinstated. So we're not proactively looking to reinstate people. They have to ask for it.
Thank you. And I do see we have a final question that I think has come in. Nicole?
We have a question from Sandra Abbott. Sandra, go ahead and enable your microphone and ask your question.
Yes, I receive information from a lot of new beneficiaries who are applying or wanting additional information regarding the Ticket to Work program that they're being told about the EPE phase, and they're telling them if they go over that amount that they would lose their benefits, and it's causing some of my beneficiaries when they get to that phase to drop their hours so that they can't or so they won't go over the SGA. And I was wondering if there's anything that could be done, I guess, through the help desk or, you know, that's giving this information, if they could not express that information, because I have clients right now who will not. I mean, they have the ability to make good money, but they will not go over the SGA because they were told that.
You're saying the our help desk or the SSA help desk?
I'm not sure which help desk they're calling, but I do know the beneficiaries are calling. They're probably calling the help desk. Okay. When they're inquiring about the Ticket to Work and they give them the overview of the program. And then when they get to the EPE phase, then they tell them, you know, if they go over that amount, that they will lose their benefits. And so that they will not, I have at least 10 that could do extremely well, but they are so afraid. And we've told them, I've sent them information that they won't, their benefits may be suspended, but it's not terminated.
It is terminated after a certain amount of time, but no, it's not terminated right away. That's true.
Right. And it's stunning. It's really stunning their growth, financial growth, because they're afraid if they go over the SGA, they're being told. And I don't know exactly, you know, if it's the help desk or, but I'm taking it that once they receive the information that they're eligible to become or can take part in the Ticket to Work program, they're given a number And so I'm taking this to whatever department that they're sharing this information. And it's not just one person. I've got this this information or a question from a lot of beneficiaries.
So are you thinking they're giving incorrect information, or they're giving the correct information, but they're scaring beneficiaries?
I think they're giving them correct information, but they're scaring them to the point that they stunt their own financial growth.
Okay. Well, we can take that back and, you know, see exactly how and when it's being presented, because it could be that the beneficiary asking about, you know, how work affects my benefits.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much, Sandra, for the question and point, and Kara for your time today. We have come to the conclusion of the All-EN call. On behalf of the Ticket to Work team, I'd like to thank you all for attending today. I'd also like to thank our presenters, Kara, Katie, and Anna, for bringing valuable information for this exchange today. To note, we will be providing a recap of today's call. We also provide the transcript. The first piece that will be available, though, will be the slides. Looking ahead, on the next slide, please plan to join the All-EN Payments call on April 25th from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern Time. And our next All-EN call will be on August 22nd at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Again, if the slide can move forward, please. That All-EN call will be on Tuesday, August 22nd, 2023 at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. We request for you to send your topic and suggestions to us at enoperations@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. Thank you again for attending the All-EN call, and this ends our meeting.